Dr. Jeff Hiller is here to talk about the hit off-Broadway play, Bright Colors and Bold Patterns. He'll be joining on January 17th and give us his spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Tell us about Bright Colors and Bold Patterns.
Well, the show is very funny, one-person show. It was written by Drew Drobe and directed by Michael Urey. And while there's only one actor in it, it's a one-person show, there are four characters. So you only see and hear one of these four characters, which is the character of Gary, but you understand what's sort of going on by his side of the conversations from all of these people. So I am going to play Gary, and he's a gay man. He's going to his first gay wedding of his friends. It's in Palm Springs. That's where the play is set. And the title of the show refers to a request in the wedding invitation that guests not wear bright colors or bold patterns to the ceremony, and spins out for like a little, I don't know, a metaphor of who Gary kind of is, which is, you know, he's really complicated. He's loud. He's very in your face. He's too much. But he's also sort of proud of that fact. And so the play kind of deals with him wondering if now that marriage equality is passed, if his identity as an outsider is being called into question, and also wrestling with the idea that maybe he doesn't want to be quote-unquote normal, or maybe he does. But also, it's a comedy. It's a hilarious show. It's funny. But it does bring up these really interesting ideas in a nuanced way. And it also presents the story in this unusual way, in that you're just hearing from one of the people talking. So I'm really excited about it.
How did you become involved?
Well, the show has been being performed by the writer of the show, whose name is Drew Drobe. He's this very brilliant comedian from Los Angeles. And he needed to get back to Los Angeles and out of the New York City winters, which I completely understand. But the show that he created, you know, it's so good, and people still want to see it. So they found a replacement for him, and that's me. I think what the deal was is that they wanted someone who had not only done theater before, but also like had a background in comedy. And I don't know, they probably also wanted someone who identifies as queer. And they also, I don't know, wanted someone who fits the costume, who works for cheap. I'm literally the only actor in New York who fits that description. And I had met Drew before. I took a class from him at the Groundlings in Los Angeles. And so I knew him from there. And I did an episode of Michael Urey's sitcom. So I knew him from there. And I recently met the producer, Zach Lax, at a show that we were just together at. And I don't know, it felt a little bit like Beshert, like it was meant to be. And so I'm stepping in, and I'm really excited about it.
What would you like to accomplish with your work?
I want people to be entertained. You know, it is a comedy. I don't want people to just feel thought-provoked by it. I want people to laugh. I really haven't done my job if they don't. But as far as this show is concerned, I'm really excited about doing a show, personally, that I get to play something that has a little bit more meat on the bone. Most of the roles I play on TV or on stage are sort of brief moments of comedic relief. I play, you know, adult or a bad customer service representative. And those are fun, and I love playing them, but this show is just me, so it's very exciting to sort of have the opportunity to perform a show that has the safety net of being super funny and hilariously written, but also has some interesting, thought-provoking messages in it as well.
How do you see our LGBTQ community moving forward in this Trump administration?
Oh, God. It's overwhelming, isn't it? I know, it's just every day a barrage. And I almost wonder if that's on purpose for this administration, because they have just flooded us with issue after issue after issue. You know, if it's not banning trans folks from military service, which is insane, literally banning volunteers who want to serve the country, but they're also ripping homelands away from Native peoples, raping the land, denying a fair shot in basic rights to folks who aren't rich, or racist rhetoric after racist rhetoric. I'm feeling overwhelmed right now, actually. But what I do think that the LGBT community is doing, and obviously other communities as well, people of color and women, you know, that minority group of women, what these groups are doing so well is that they're not just rolling over and letting it happen. I sometimes felt like when I first came of age and politically aware, it was during the Bush administration, second Bush, George W. And I felt a lot of my peers were saying things like, ugh, I just don't even like this America anymore. You know, like, this isn't an America for gay people. And there was this sort of romanticization of Europe. And what I've noticed about young people now and queer people and my friends even is that we're not just rolling over. We're saying we love this country. We're saying that equal rights is not some sort of radical progressive idea. It's literally in the Constitution. And so we're continuing to fight. We're continuing to resist. I was just emailing with some friends about what we're going to do with the Women's March and how we're going to stand up this year. And we've been doing that for a year since the election. So I'm excited and proud and heartened by how people are continuing to say, this isn't right, and we're going to continue fighting.
With LGBTQ teens already 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids struggling with Trump's administration?
My God, it's so hard, right? It's so hard to be other, and it's especially difficult for queer kids because we're one of the few other that grow up in a house with usually a non-other. And I would imagine that there are some parts of the country where this administration has emboldened people to be even more harsh to people who are different. So I would say to LGBTQ youth, there are people in the world who will support you and listen to you, who will not condemn you for being who you are, for living your truth. In fact, we will honor you for that. And I think that as much as the internet kind of gets crap for ruining the world, it's also this amazing tool for connecting to other people. And these are other people who can help you and listen to you and know you. So I would encourage young queer youth, maybe who found this podcast from Googling, to Google some more and especially look for like the Trevor Project phone number or any of the other amazing hotlines for LGBTQ youth or just youth in general who are having a hard time, who need to hear from someone that it's going to be okay. Because I know it doesn't necessarily feel that way at times, but I think it can be eventually.
How can people get information and tickets for Bright Colors and Bold Patterns?
We have a website. It's brightcolorsandboldpatterns.com. We also have a Twitter handle, and that's just @brightboldplay. See all sorts of information about how to see the show. And we're at the Soho Playhouse in New York City.
What other projects are you working on?
Well, I'm an improviser with this really wonderful theater called the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. It's a comedy theater started by Matt Walsh from Veep and Amy Poehler from Everything, as well as two other really brilliant comedians, Ian Roberts and Matt Besser, who you would know if you saw. And we perform every shows every single night of the week. We have a brand new theater in Hell's Kitchen in New York City. And so I'm continuing to perform improv shows with them. And I have a podcast, too. We're all on the podcast bandwagon. My show is called Touché with Jeff and Jen. And it's a show about actors who are in the middle, who are in the middle of their careers and middle of their lives and the middle of the fame spectrum. Not really famous, but some work under their belt and who are working actors. So you can look for that at Touché Podcast.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
I don't know why I'm so concerned about this, but I feel like I've been painting Bright Colors and Bold Patterns as this sort of intellectual show. And it is that. It really does make you think it's good art, but it's also super, super funny. You know, it's a really hilarious show. It's got just some of the best jokes I have ever been lucky enough to perform. So I just want people to know, if you're coming to this show, don't expect it to be, you know, a long day's journey into night. There's a lot of fun with this show, and it's just 80 minutes long, and it does make you think, but it also makes you laugh.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
Well, you know, my mom, when I was growing up, she always used to say this thing that would make me roll my eyes. She would always say, you should have an attitude of gratitude, and a little song that involves clapping her hands, an attitude of gratitude, and I always found that sort of annoying as a moody teen. It's helped me so much as an actor who is rejected 80% of the time. That's lucky, 90% of the time probably. And certainly in our current political climate, it helps me so much to focus on the good things and not just stew on the bad things. So I'm going through life with my attitude of gratitude.